Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. The Action Lab guy. So I've decided that, yes, he is pretty much a pseudo-scientist pretending to be doing something real. You know, the real science, real physics. And it's pretty much just conventional crap wrapped up in, you know, little short, simple arguments rather than getting to any of the core or real fundamental arguments, and especially in any kind of balanced way. You know, he has his own agenda in some respects. I mean, clearly his own perspective, and essentially he, you know, shows you things to make them look, you know, his way sort of idea. Anyway, so yes, and everybody could be probably accused of having some biases, and it's pretty hard to keep those out of what you're doing ever. Overall, I've become less and less impressed. The more of his videos I watch, the more I see how they just slide over all the places where there's an indication that maybe the physics is broken. Whether it's, you know, in the idea of kinetic energy or photons and the wave theory, and it's just all in there in the sense that he doesn't really get to the fact that maybe that there are reasons to doubt the conventional notions. So in this experiment, the flaw in his presentation is so obvious and so, like, you know, it's almost like, why bother doing the experiment, because it had no hope of really detecting the real effect, so why did you bother? It's a waste of time, because you implied that it proves something when the proof is catastrophically flawed. It has no hope. It's I could make the comparison that if I tried to detect gravitational waves with a little desktop interferometer, people would laugh at me and say, you can't do that. That's why they had to spend all that money to make the, you know, mile-long tubes. And even the mile-long tubes, turns out, they weren't nearly long enough. They need to be 16,000 miles long. You know, they're not nearly long. 1,600 miles long. They need to be 1,600 miles long. Minimum. That's the minimum. Yeah. This experiment does is useless because it's the same thing. It's not nearly good enough. It's not an experiment that has any hope of demonstrating the effect. It only fools people, in my opinion. It's not giving you an answer. It's not verification. A physicist should miss it. A physicist should know that, yes, I can't detect gravitation. I have no theoretical hope of detecting a gravitational wave with a desktop interferometer. The physicists can know that, so they certainly should know this.
Hey everyone, today I'm going to be...
I think he's wearing that frickin' Google shirt. He's just labeling himself butt shit to me, okay? So now I see his little beady eyes. He even looks like one of the Google guys. He talks a little bit like him too. Like, you know, he's from another country originally, blah, 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 blah. So it makes it really hateable now. Yeah, I hate you.
Dropping magnets and seeing if they drop as fast as, the same, or slower than regular objects.
So, and he also, him and his, I guess, wife or whatever, wrote some kid's book, you know, 5 to 8 year old kind of book. You know, why? Because you can fool kids? Is that why?
As you know, Earth is magnetic due to the convection of molten iron.
It says you, but whatever. The real reason, you know, who knows what the real reason is. I mean, these little squiggly lines in here, sort of, you know, that sort of saying, oh, I guess they just squiggled them because they didn't know what else to say or do, you know, in terms of why it's aligning. Obviously, the iron in the core is being aligned. And so what's causing the alignment? I might argue that it's being caused by the fact that the iron that's aligned clumps, and therefore the clumps are pushed out to the outside, and therefore they're segregated and in a direction. But, you know, that's my argument. Okay, so it's the movement from the inside to the outside that forces the iron bits, you know, the iron atoms, to be more likely to be in alignment. The atoms themselves are always magnetic. It's just that they don't mean anything unless they're all pointing in the same direction in terms of creating a magnetic field. But anyway, continuing. And, you know, it's just obvious that the Earth, because of its orientation to the Sun, its different parts of the Earth are going to end up having, you know, some segregation because the gravitational effects are different also.
The outer liquid core. So because the Earth...
So it was no point to even do that bit of science, right? Because that bit of science is a whole subject of science. And he just kind of like, well, here's my opinion, really. He didn't go into what there could be all the debates about what actually causes the iron in the core of the Earth to align. It's a bunch of aluminum in there, too. So who knows?
A magnet, does that mean if we drop a magnet on Earth, it will be attracted to it, and technically it should fall fast?
Yes, well, it won't be attracted to the Earth itself, because the magnet will have a face, right? A north side and a south side, and you really need those two sides to be segregated, you know, for it to work. I mean, unless you draw the magnet sideways with the magnetic field from, like, the equator, you know, then you might have some hope of doing what he's just describing here in terms of the attractive force. But you have to understand the magnet obviously repels as much as it attracts. It's just the idea that the magnet can turn and turn its repulsive end away from the part that's attracting the other end. And by not being able to see it, you can't be affected by it. So it is line of sight force, which indicates that it's the lines of force, not the field lines, that are actually attracting the magnet. So it's a whole, there's a whole bunch of good physics here that's just ignored to play a little simple game, to do it for 5 to 8 year olds. I mean, he's treating you like a 5 or 8 year old, okay, in terms of the quality of this physics. And even if you did this to 5 or 8 year olds, I'd say you were molesting their brain, because the subject's more complicated than this simplistic view he gave of it. So the point is the magnets clearly do attract, because compass needles do move down as you go further north or further south. The needle bends, okay, indicating that the little magnet that is the needle can see which pole is which, and it's trying to bend towards the pole just like a piece of iron would. So there's clearly a force. There's clearly more force on one side of the magnet than the other side of the magnet. And there's reason to say, well, they're going to be additive. The magnetic force is additive to gravity. Not that it has to be a new force, it's just that obviously the force is being better interpreted. The force has more of an effect because you're filtering out the repulsive bits. Say if the entire field of gravity was actually a charge field, you're basically taking out the part that was balancing that field. And therefore, that's why magnets are so much stronger than gravity. It's because gravity doesn't have that aspect. But anyway, moving on.
Sir, than a non-magnetic object? So I'm going to be testing this out along with another interesting theory proposed by Boyd Bushman. Boyd Bushman was a Lockheed Martin inventor, has a lot of patents in his name, a really cool engineer, but he also had some really weird theories.
So again, the idea would be is that, you know, he's missing a whole bunch of physics here and how he's going to do this, but clearly he should have pointed out that the experiment had to be done in some other way than he did it.
One of the experiments that he said he did is he got two magnets and forced them together. So he took two of the north poles of the magnet and forced them together, and then...
So the theory there would be is that you're guaranteeing a south pole, okay, falling. There's no way for the, you know, if it can't turn, then you're guaranteeing you're pushing a south pole, and in the northern latitude, that's basically... The northern latitude is the south magnetic pole, so you're basically forcing a south pole magnet into a south pole Earth, And therefore it would be repulsive, and therefore you would think, yes, the magnet would levitate a little bit. So that, it doesn't theoretically make, it's not for no reason. You didn't shove the two north sides together for no reason.
They dropped him off a building, and he claimed that they always fell slower than something that didn't have magnets inside of them. So I'm going to be doing that experiment also today in a little more controlled manner.
Yes, it's more controlled, but it's theoretically stupid, because the distance you're allowing the objects to fall is so tiny. It's like me doing an interferometer experiment on my desktop and then saying it's the same as LIGO. No, it isn't. You know, it's a bad argument.
Inside of a vacuum chamber, so we can negate the influence of air.
So we know that the influence of air is going to be fairly tiny, and it's going to be, if you have equal size, surface area objects and equal masses, well, it's really going to be kind of irrelevant. And if you just do the experiment a few times, any randomness created by turbulence could be negated as meaningful.
And then drop them.
I'm not saying a vacuum doesn't help. Sure, it helps.
Magnets and see if they.
But again, it's a limitation, because then you have to do your vacuum over a much. The idea is this experiment has no hope of being useful at 1 meter of falling distance. You have no hope. You're looking for something very small. So again, it's like the LIGO comparison. They had to make the tunnels 1 mile long. They wanted to make them 1,600 miles long. They would have liked to. I think they theoretically thought they had some kind of hope at 1 mile, but obviously you don't have any hope if they really do all that mathematics crap that they're so proud of. You find out 1 mile isn't nearly long enough to detect the effect, and so they have to now bounce the light back and forth 1,600 times, because what they really need is they need tubes 1,600 miles long, vacuum tubes. Yeah, and hopefully the government will never fall for that one.
Actually fall faster when we force the two like poles together. So first let's go ahead and test if a magnet drops faster than a regular object, because the Earth is magnetic. Okay.
So the one argument you could make is that he's dropping the magnet in the wrong position because of the way he's done the experiment. So we could just start with that. But anyway, okay, we'll get to that.
So here's my setup. I have my vacuum pump going to my vacuum tube here.
Obviously not a very strong vacuum, but any vacuum is better than no vacuum.
Also, at the top here, I've drawn a red line. This is where I'm going to be starting all my...
Right, so he's got the magnet oriented, attracted to another magnet. So clearly, the magnet is oriented in this position, horizontal, north-south. And what you really want to do is start it off in the right position, because what you're trying to do is detect a tiny bit of difference in terms of the magnet's north and south poles not doing opposite things. So this is a tiny effect you're going to be detecting. And so it's like the whole compass needle point is that it's a stretched out magnet. So it really makes it possible for the compass needle to bend down towards the south pole, the south magnetic pole, which is the north pole. I just should fix this stuff. Irritating.
Start times and then ending when it hits the bottom.
So he has some decent, it's just put, obviously the camera, the high-speed camera is the key piece of technology here. And to me, this is a waste of it. But anyway, continuing.
And then I have two identical balls here. One of these is a magnet and one is not. Okay, turn on the vacuum pump.
So they're identical, but, he didn't bother weighing them, because they're going to move at the same speed and gravity. But that's a little bit of a trick, right? Because we know one might be compensating for the other effect, because he doesn't have a perfect vacuum. So we have a tiny drop area here, right? I mean, this is just tiny. I mean, it's just a meter at best. So this experiment, for you to have any hope of collecting this, effect, it's a tiny little effect. You really need to do meter, but you're only going to detect a tiny bit of difference. So, this is an experiment better done at hundreds of feet rather than a few decameters. Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2.
So let's understand, the magnet's now in the wrong orientation. So the interesting thing would have been if you would have painted this little round magnet, so the north end, so you could see the north and south end, and then when he dropped it to see if it would turn. So that would be the first giveaway that something's going on, right? Now, if the magnet had enough time to turn in this 1 meter. Now, if it doesn't even have enough time to turn in the 1 meter, you know this isn't enough of an experiment, right? But there's no chance of seeing the effect until the magnet turns with the north face down. Then you know it is detecting the Earth's magnetic field. And so now you can say the field must be having an effect because it's clearly detected the field and it's moved to orient itself to the field. But obviously, it just ain't going to happen in 1 meter.
What?
Now, another thing that's kind of broken about how he does these experiments is these magnets are banging down at the bottom. And every time you bang a magnet, you break its domains and make it a weaker magnet. So he's not doing the magnets any favor by having them bang at the base.
3, 2, 1. Now let's watch them both fall.
All right, so this is the good part he has, right? So he's aligned it, where he thinks they start, the two films. All right. These numbers are different for some reason, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Exactly the same time at 1,000 frames per second.
Yeah.
The frames are...
So I don't know, whether we actually get to see that part, because obviously he doesn't have them lined up with each other. These numbers are not the same. Strange.
Shown on the left side.
Okay, so they do look the same, but these numbers aren't the same, so that's not terribly helpful. Yeah, so what he's saying is it's the same exact time, and yet, I don't know, these numbers don't look like the same number to me. That looks like it's, 1/100th off. Well, not, 3/1,000ths or whatever.
Each picture. And I measured that they both hit at exactly the same time.
Well, it says you, because we didn't get to see any of that, but whatever. So he says it's 3.34 seconds. Okay, it says you. I don't know. I guess it's just the software, whatever he was using to do this. But he's not really doing start and stop time, so I really don't understand the clock connected to something. When does the clock start? This was the time on the clock when it started, and then he's doing the subtraction. He's just telling us what the answer was. Regardless, it all doesn't matter. The fact that he got the same time doesn't mean much, because you wouldn't detect the effect. What the hell just happened to my chair? I must have accidentally hit the de-elevator. It magnetically attracted to the Earth. Anyway, continuing.
0.334 seconds. So within our error limits, we got the same time whether or not it was a magnet or a regular steel ball falling.
Right, so he doesn't say anything about the fact that, yes, I'm dropping it a very tiny amount of distance, which means whatever the effect would be, if it was a small effect, I haven't allowed the effect to accumulate into a bigger number that you could actually see.
Why doesn't a magnet...
A big enough number for you to actually see. So, Dr. Pepper's shirt, but it's a fake old shirt, so, it's like faking. Look, I'm vintage. Faux vintage.
It's going to fall faster to the Earth even though the Earth is a magnet. The first reason why this doesn't happen is the magnetic field of Earth is actually really weak. The magnetic field...
It's really not that bad, actually. If it's bending, it's moving compass needles. It's pretty impressive, if you ask me. If it's moving down the compass needle, that's a pretty substantial effect.
It was only around 0.25 Gauss. Whereas a simple refrigerator magnet is around 100 Gauss.
Yeah, so what? The Earth is really, really big magnet. It's really big. So the fact that, it doesn't have a very strong magnetic field. It has a very large, dense one.
But even if the magnetic field were stronger, it still wouldn't attract it to the Earth.
Okay, that's his theory part. Well, and you say. I'm saying it's kind of obvious that the compass needle bends down, so there's no argument about, well, yeah, it does attract down, and you're just arguing it's that tiny little movement down added to gravity. And I would argue it's clearly added to gravity, or it wouldn't go down.
That's because the magnetic field that we're dropping it through is a uniform magnetic field.
Well, it really isn't, so I don't even know why he says that, because it's really not uniform. That's why the compass needle bends down.
For example, right here I can mimic the magnetic field of the Earth by putting two strong neodymium magnets with their opposite poles facing each other. You can see that when I put this third magnet in between here, it aligns with the
I mean, this again is such a silly way to do the experiment, right? Because obviously these lines are really just an example of exactly what kind of turn you'll get out of a magnet. If I put a magnet here, it will go north-south along this line. It's just telling you how strong the attraction is going to be versus the attraction to the south end from the south pole. So it's just telling you that the south pole of the magnet is going to be very weak, you know, north-south attracting. I'm just saying the inverse. Obviously, this would be the south pole, this would be the north pole in what I'm saying. And the north pole would point towards the south pole, and the south pole would feel very little pressure from the north pole. Right, well, he's got the Earth on here, so obviously this is the north pole, but it's the magnetic south is the point. So you just can't, they should fix these things. The north pole is just the south pole. We have to learn how to say south pole instead of north pole.
Magnetic poles. But it definitely doesn't fall faster towards the ground because there's no attraction towards the ground. It's attracted to the magnets on both ends.
Again, it just, that makes no sense, because what it's actually doing is actually, you could just show the compass needle bending down. So it's clearly, you know, doing it.
So it causes the small magnet to rotate but not fall faster.
So,
because the Earth is a magnet,
he didn't let it fall faster, right? So that's all we know. We didn't, that magnet wasn't allowed to move to one mag side or the other, right? If he put it on an air track, that little magnet, if he put it on something perfectly frictionless, the magnet would go to one of the magnets. It would. It wouldn't stay on that line. It would be attracted and move. So, I mean, another poor example, I would argue. Okay, let's do this one more time.
Rotate, but not fall faster. So if you're anywhere on the Earth not near the North or South Pole, you're not going to see an attraction towards the Earth.
But so, again, this is just doesn't make any sense for him to say this, because he knows that's not true. So on the equator, the magnetic fields are balanced. The needle doesn't bend one way or the other. But as soon as you go south or as soon as you go north of the equator, the needle, instead of being flat, starts bending. Clearly a levitation against gravity, or you could look at it as clearly a force against gravity.
If you're near the North and South Pole, there actually will be a slight downward component.
All right, if you're near. No, all you have to do is be in where I think this guy is, Canada, and you'll see it. You can see it in North America, okay? It's already, that's sort of an established thing. They've already measured, you know, it's already there here in, you know, Jersey.
Component to the magnetic flux. So if you have a compass, it'll point slightly downward. This can actually be a problem for planes flying near the North or South Pole, because it creates something called magnetic dip. That means that their compass points slightly downward. Now,
so he's conceding the point, so it's not some sort of perfectly homogeneous thing. It's clearly there is an effect, and there is reason to think that if I point a north face magnet at the magnetic south pole, that there will be some element of attraction between my magnet and the Earth, and that attraction would be added to whatever the gravitational effect was. And if I did the opposite and pointed the south pole, I would get the opposite effect.
We're going to try Boyd Bushman's experiment, where he pushed the two like poles of a magnet together and dropped them and said that it dropped slower.
All right, so I don't have to play all of this because it's sort of just a waste of time. So he made a contraption for pushing the magnets together, and it appears that he broke one of the magnets doing it, but whatever, he didn't say that part. So this in itself would be an interesting experiment if they would do it the right way, in the sense of just find out how much power the magnet has. How many pounds of pressure do you have to apply to the magnet to smush the two ends together? That's a interesting.
I have one magnet in here right now.
And it's pounds. That's its energy. So you can just say, how many pounds did it take to push them together? And then you can release them and see how many pounds of pressure they create as they're launched.
Put this one on top. You can see how it
See, that one looks broken now. So somehow it got broken somewhere in this. Because that definitely looks like a break. Yep.
Propels it. So if I put a lot of force on it, I can force the two magnets together. So now the two like poles are facing each other, but I've got...
Yeah, but he hasn't got them really smashed into each other, does he? No, it looks like there's a gap there still. But whatever, it doesn't really matter.
I'm held in place with my drill bit here.
That's the kind of thing I would do. I have actually, that's where the greatest way to hold things together is just drill a hole and put a pin through it, right? A cotter pin. So yeah, I have to admit, I cheat that way all the time.
I drilled in and then I'm going to cut it off on the edges there. Okay, so I've got that filed off just fine. Now I'm going to cut it right here. Okay, here's our final product. Three.
Which is a little bit sloppy, just because you could just say, well, it could hit the side and cause some friction, blah, 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 but whatever.
Two. One. Okay, now put the attractive ends towards each other. So instead of just comparing it to
Yes, his magnet is quite broken. And clearly all of that breaking doesn't do your magnet any good in terms of, again, it's how much magnetism it has. It's going to lose, especially neodymiums really don't like being hit with hammers or any of that crap.
Object. I'm using two magnets that are attracted to each other because there are some sources that say that he claimed that that actually falls faster than a normal object. So we should be able to see a difference here if it's really true.
Right, but I would argue that clearly it does matter north, south, south, north. So the ones that are attracted to each other would turn. So obviously he has them pointed towards the right field. That is the south pole pointing towards the north pole, or the north pole pointed towards the real magnetic south pole, which is the north pole.
Okay, there we go. Exact same setup as before, but now...
Except even more broken.
Now the poles are opposite of each other. So they're attracted to each other. Okay, three, two, one. Now let's look at them both dropping exactly together. My start time is measured from when the plunger end of the syringe passes the red line, and the end time is when it hits the bottom.
So they start with these timers in different places, so you have to do the subtraction of the numbers to find out the actual number. So that's a little irritating, but clearly doable. So clearly it looks very similar, but guess what? Again, the experiment is way too short a distance. If there was an effect, there's no good theoretical reason to believe you could detect the effect with a distance drop that short.
And at almost exactly the same time, within 1/1000th of a second. So although Boyd Bushman claimed that if you push two magnets together, they'll drop slower, I don't see any reason why in physics that would happen.
So I don't know why he would say, I don't see any reason. I mean, clearly the compass needle turns and it goes down. Those are two good reasons to say the magnetic fields will cause motion. And any motion, you know, even the turning motion, you could argue if the magnet's falling this way and it turns to the magnetic field, that it is going to accelerate through the process of turning. The tip of the magnet is going to accelerate because you rotated it.
And also experimentally, I don't see it happen either. Now, for some reason...
So experimentally, you have no reason to think you had a good enough experiment to do the experiment. So again, I can prove there's no gravitational waves, and by the same physics standard, I could prove there's no gravitational waves by doing an interferometer on my desk and saying, you know, a really good one, you know, I'll be very precise, you know, a very quality interferometer, okay, but it's only a foot long, and I'll claim there's no gravitational waves because my interferometer didn't detect them. He's doing the same thing, and that's crappy science. He knows better. He really does know better. That he can't do this experiment in this shorter distance and have any expectation of detecting the tiny amount of influence that you could theoretically understand to exist.
This did actually work, so that when you push two like poles of a magnet together, they actually fall slower. That would mean that the gravitational constant has changed a little bit.
No, it wouldn't at all. That's just silly. Just means that there's a compound force, and now you're adding two beneficial effects. You're just saying gravity exists, it's doing its job, magnetism is happening, and it's going to do another job. There's no reason to think gravity changed. You're just saying that the magnetism is being added to it. So it's not much difference than the horizontal magnets, okay? So if I have a magnet and another magnet, I mean, if I have a steel ball, two steel balls right next to each other, and then I roll a magnetic ball, and I roll, he's done this experiment, and you roll it, its velocity stays what it is, right, the velocity you gave it by flinging it, and the magnetic attraction is added to that velocity and creates a super velocity when it leaves. So, I mean, he already did this experiment just like four videos ago or something. So he already knows that the two forces add to each other. You didn't change the velocity, you didn't change the force you gave the ball, because the ball is magnetic and now magnetism is going to create added force. The extra velocity didn't break the rules of physics. And he's implying that you have to break a law of physics for this to be true. So again, I just claim that's junk science. You just made a junk science argument, and for no good reason. Merely to say you don't really believe the two forces can add. That's your opinion, and you're using perversion and distortion and propaganda essentially to say your opinion's been proven. I don't know. I mean, frankly, personally, I don't know. But I'm saying I don't see any reason why the little tiny bend in the compass needle would certainly be additive to gravity. It wouldn't be subtractive.
It's a little bit less. So there's some opposing force to gravity. So that means that when we weigh the magnets, they should weigh less when we force two magnets together.
Okay, we already know that these effects are tiny. And so we, you know, that's even a smaller experiment. So how could you possibly expect to see, you weighed it from a meter. Now you're saying I'm going to weigh it even a tinier distance and expect to see the effect. No, ain't going to happen.
Let's see if that's even the case. They're attracted to each other.
What if AI were...
All right, so it seems pretty silly to have the two magnets going horizontal and then say I'm going to look for a magnetic effect this way. So obviously on the face, this part of the experiment was stupid. It's stupid anyway.
Available to everyone. That's what we're building. Raspberry Pi RP2040 plus ESP32.
Yeah, really exciting.
6.905. Okay, now this is opposing. So I got a little nervous during this part because the ones that were attracted to each other actually weighed more than the...
Right, so it's just another example of, well, it's a crappy little scale for one thing, and obviously you're not high enough away. Neodymium magnets are pretty strong, and you're affecting the scale, so he lifts it higher, finds no effect, blah, 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 blah. So we really don't need to see all that much, right? I don't think so. So he has them higher. So again, the funny part is that they're attracting horizontal to the field. Obviously, in this configuration, there's as much attraction as there is repulsion. So you're defeating the whole purpose of the measurement, which is to measure, you know, with the field, not against the field. You want to allow it, the magnet, to turn. The only way the compass needle bends is first it has to turn to the field. It can't bend down until the needle has moved towards the North Pole before it can bend down. It has to get the South Pole away from the North Pole, if you get my drift. It has to get the repulsive part, the South Pole repelling the pole you're attracted to. The North, magnetic South, geographic North, whatever, however you have to say this crap. But the point is the whole point of the magnet is to take the part that's being repelled and push it behind you so it can't see the thing you're attracted to, so it can't create any effect. It can't stop the North from being attracted. It can't stop the magnet from going now because it has plenty of incentive to go, because it has very little. It has attraction in front of it instead of any repulsion, because it put the repulsion in the trunk. That's why the magnets move, is because they have to create maximum amounts of attraction and minimize the amount of repulsion. That's what they orient to do. And he has it pointed exactly opposite. So he says north, south, and they're obviously side by side. So, I don't know.
Okay, same. 6.55 as well. That was close. Okay, so the reason I was getting different weights before is because the magnets were really close to the scale, and so it was attracting some of the components in there in different ways, depending on how I had the magnets turned. But once I move them really high up away from the scale, so the magnetic field...
But you have defeated the point of the experiment by balancing the two poles in terms of their effects to gravity. They're oriented to gravity exactly the way they can't create an extra force, because they have just as much exposure to the repulsion as they do the attraction.
Isn't affecting it, then I get the same weights. Before we go, I'd like to thank Blinkist for sponsoring this video.
Okay, well, we're going then. I'm going. Okay. So, yeah, so, you know, whatever. It's junk, blah, blah, blah. I did contact this guy a couple of times, I think, actually, you know, with the offer of real money to do some real physics, you know, at least some challenge and all that kind of stuff, and some sort of debate and some sort of something. Just play, you know, 15 minutes of my physics. And, you know, I don't get replies even from these people. You offer them $2,000 and they can't even bother replying. But anyway, and it's just, yeah, so bad on you. This was a junk video. It was obviously flawed in terms of your logic that you proved anything, because the experiment you did has no hope of being a good proof. It's so limited in what it can show. And that's kind of obvious, and the fact that it's that obvious and you don't care is just proves my point, that you're not really doing physics. You're just regurgitating religious concepts. Blah, 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 blah. Pseudo-science. Looks like science, but it ain't science. Science has got to be done better. So... till the next time and such, and so forth and whatnot. Yeah. This has been draftphysics.com video presentation. It's just so... the world is just such a piece of crap. Humans suck. I mean, they can't make any counter-argument. I mean, nothing. Nobody can even grasp at a straw and throw it at me. I mean, nothing. It's amazing. I mean, I've proven their kinetic energy to be silly. And not a single concession. Anyway, till the next time and such.